If we want to understand the Bible, if we want to understand His Word, key with the disciples, we need to be involved. We have to make a choice to be able to want to know more. We have to have that desire, that hunger, to want to know more of His Word and what He's saying. Okay, He's given us that example between the Pharisees and His disciples right here of what's the difference in the way that He's speaking. So we have to make a choice. We have to make a choice to want to be involved. Well, how do I be involved? Not everybody can go out to Montana and go to a youth camp. Can you pray about it without leaving your home? That's an easy example. You want to be involved in the ministry and the work of Jesus Christ? Pray about it. That's the easiest, that's the least sometimes are attached to things, to finances, to time. So if you don't have the finances or you don't have the time, pray about it. God will use that just as He will use whoever's out there speaking with Him. Be involved in the ministry and the work of Jesus Christ, just like the disciples were. What were they doing? They were walking around preaching, healing, helping the sick, feeding the poor, doing all the things that Jesus was. They were working out ministry. Remember we looked about God as the ruler of the universe? We are here just to help carry out His principles and His standards. That's what the disciples were doing. When Jesus sent them out, and when in the end of the book of Matthew, when He sends us out to go out to all the nations, to do what? What am I supposed to go out to all the nations to do? Give them the good news of Jesus Christ. The saving information they have, the freedom that they can have in Jesus Christ. We're commanded to give that to people. Well, what does that look like sometimes? That's different sacrifices sometimes. Sometimes it's financial. Sometimes it's your time. Sometimes it's just praying. It all looks different. But you have to make the choice to be involved. You can't have the excuse, so God never uses me, or I never see God do this in my life, or this never happens. Well, whose fault is that? Are you the one that's not willing to be used? It's a choice you have. God's not going to force you to partake in His ministry. Jesus isn't going to drag you along with Him if you don't want to be there. And we see that with Judas. He was the only one of the 12 disciples that he was there for the wrong reasons. He wanted part of whatever it was that he wanted that Jesus was doing at that time, but he didn't make the choice to truly want it to change him. And that's what the disciples... So he's saying, these guys, here, I'm going to give you the information because you choose to follow along with me, okay? And then when it says mysteries, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom. When we look at this, you have to remember who Jesus is speaking to. Something that can be only revealed or understood because God chose to reveal it is the context of the mystery here. Okay, so what is the mystery? Remember, the veil had not been torn yet. Jesus was not crucified. He was not hung on a cross. He did not raise from the grave. The veil had not been torn. Old Testament believers did not have the Holy Spirit. They did not understand that. They did not understand that you and I have the church age we have. They were not indwelt. The Holy Spirit wasn't indwelled in every believer. Okay? So the mystery, so many times when Jesus would talk about leaving, but I'm going to leave you with a helper, and you're going to be able to do this in the power of my name, and you're going to be able to accomplish all this stuff with my power and my help, they're like, what are you talking about? You're not going to be here forever. You tell us that you're leaving. You're not going to be around, so how are we going to... It was a mystery to many people because God hadn't revealed how that was all going to lay out. Jesus was on earth revealing then to them how He was going to lay out the church age, which is us, and how He was going to lay out the future. All that is there. So the mystery in Revelation, speaking of the church age and then dwelling of the Holy Spirit, Larry said something very foreign to them at that time. Okay, because they still thought you had to go into the priest and into the tabernacle, and you had to have them bring sacrifices on your behalf. There were still blood sacrifices. There was all that stuff. There's the burning of the incense. There was all of that you still had to do at that time. Okay? And so obviously, they're like, but we've had this for 2,000 years or however many years we've been sacrificing stuff and doing it this way. Ever since, you know, you freed our people and we were walking through the wilderness, what we've been doing these sacrifices and stuff, and now all of a sudden you're telling us that that law is abolished and we get to do it different? And that's the same reason that Jews today have so many issues with that. And there's even churches that are teaching that you've got to abide by the law. Well, the tearing of the veil is very significant. When Jesus died on that cross, when He gave His Spirit up, God said that that sacrifice was sufficient. That is the basis, the truth, the foundation of your biblical life, is that that foundation is set in stone. By the veil being torn, it erased all of that stuff. Because Jesus was sufficient. His sacrifice on the cross, the blood that he shed, was sufficient. Therefore, there was no need of the burning of the incense. There was no need for animal sacrifices. There was no need for me going into a priest to do anything because Jesus was enough. All of that other stuff would be like, okay, Jesus, you did 90, 95% of the work, but I still got to do something to make God in line with what he did. And obviously we know that that is not right. So that's huge. That is a huge, huge, the tearing of that veil is a huge biblical foundational truth that you have to know, because that is proof that Jesus' sacrifice was enough. God got rid of all of the roadblocks in the way between you and him by tearing of that veil, because that veil covered us between him. What did God do? He tore it from the top to the bottom, signifying the top, that's where God's at, and he just chose to tear it up, opening us directly into him with a relationship with him because of what Jesus Christ did. Okay, so that is your biblical, that is your basis of your salvation, that is what is true, that is something that you hold on to and you build your foundation of your Christian life off of that truth. Okay? So, verse 11, Jesus answered them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries. Part of the reason that they knew it is because Jesus was there with them. Okay? The Spirit of God, who is God, or who is Jesus? Jesus was the invisible, he was the visible of the invisible. So these disciples had Jesus walking with them. They had the Spirit of God. It's the same Spirit of God that you and I have that lives in us. The disciples were in no better position than you and I are. We're in the exact same position. Because the same Spirit of God that Jesus Christ was operating off of is, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have that same Spirit of God living in you. So we can't look at the disciples and be like, hey man, that's not fair. Look at the opportunity they had. They felt Jesus. They had him around them. He could tell them all this stuff. He could talk with them when they were walking down the road. They got to see him do the miracles. They got to see him heal people. They got to see him do whatever. Well, guess what? You and I get that every day. Every single day. And that's the mystery these guys didn't understand. So you and I have no excuse to say it's not fair. We have actually a better advantage, because it's with us at all times. Right? Okay. So they knew and saw this because Jesus was in the flesh. And we just covered that. So what's our excuse? We don't have one, right? Verse 12, for whoever has to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance, but whoever does not have, even when what he has shall be taken away from him. So this word, anyone or whoever, jumped out at me this morning. Because it's like, okay, let's look at whoever. The word whoever. Is this to whoever, like in John 3:16, that whoever believes in him, and in 1 John 5:1, whoever believes in my son, we're speaking of salvation. But this whoever in the Greek language is a different meaning. And it's whoever, meaning anyone who because of. Okay? And we'll get into why. So anyone who because of, if you want to rewrite it or kind of rethink of it that way, anyone who because he has, more shall be given. Anyone, because of what they have been given, chooses to use that information in a way that God intended it to be used. Anyone, so we're reading this here, anyone, because of the information that they have been given, chooses to use it in the way in which God intended it to be used, will be hungry and will grow. That's the basis of this verse. Well, what does that look like? Remember Matthew chapter 5? 5 verse 3? 5 verse 4? 6? And 8. Verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Right? Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted, for those who see their spiritual poverty. Blessed, verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Verse 8, blessed are those who who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. Anyone, because of what they have been given, chooses to use that information in the way in which God intended it to be used, and will be hungry and will grow. They will then continue to grow in understanding the things of God. Okay, now reread the verse. For whoever has to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. They have the information. Jesus was giving these people the information. They chose not to do anything with the information Jesus gave them. The disciples, by following Jesus, leaving everything behind them, they chose to follow Jesus, and what did they do with the information Jesus gave them when they were walking with him? They used it to heal. They used it to save people. They used it to help people, to encourage, to build up. They did with the information Jesus gave them. They used it the way that God intended them to be able to use it, because they were poor in spirit. They came with nothing to offer. They come to God with nothing to offer. They came to Jesus. Jesus said, leave it all behind. And they said, okay, we'll follow you. We ain't got nothing to bring to the table, but we're going to follow you anyway. They saw their spiritual poverty. They mourned. They wanted more. They got a taste of it, and they mourned that they didn't have enough. Their soul wanted more. And they had that feeling of, I'm not satisfied, and I hurt, and I need more, and I want to know more. And they kept chasing it because they were hungry, and they were thirsty for His righteousness. Their heart was pure because they saw what Jesus did to people. They were people, whether they wanted to be or whether they knew it or not. They interacted with people because of the condition of their heart. The Pharisees had all the information in the Bible, and they knew it better than probably the disciples did, because they were scribes. They taught it. It was their job. They had that information, but their heart was wrong. The disciples had the information, and they had the right heart, and they used the Word of God, Jesus Christ Himself, as God intended them to. Are you and I using the Word of God as God intends us to use it? Because if we are, what does this verse say? When it says, for whoever has to him, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. That's that because. Anyone who, because of the information that they have, and does what God intends it to do, God will give them more. That doesn't mean a prosperity gospel. I'm going to use BASIC for an example. BASIC gets done. It's very effective. It's used as God intends it to be used. What does God open the door to? Junior BASIC. God has given us this church. BASIC is this church supports BASIC. People help support BASIC. People come and help out BASIC and interact with the kids. God does what? To whom much has been given? Because you have done with those opportunities that I've given you, because you've done with them as I've intended you to do with them, I will give you more. More ways to be faithful. More ways to bless people. More ways to make a difference in people's life. But that is a choice that you and I have to make. If we don't make that choice, what happens? God's going to take those opportunities away from us, because we're not faithful in doing what He needs us to be doing. So then we sit back and we get mad at God. God, you never do this. You never give me the opportunity to do this. You're not letting me do this in my life. Well, whose choice is that? Right? There was something. Include God in your plan, because He includes you in His. Include God in your plan, because He includes you in His. It's a choice we have to make to be included, right? I don't have to follow along with what He says. I don't have to follow along what He gives me to do. It's a choice I got to make. But always know in the back of my mind that God's including you in His plan. So be able to be used, right? Okay, so where we're at here. So many things, not all things, but so many things happen because of what we so often choose to do with the information God has given us. So verse 13, therefore I speak to them in parables. Therefore, we always go back to say, what's it there for? That's another kind of thing when you're reading through the Bible. If you want to know the context of things, therefore is an awesome word, because you just go back and say, okay, what are you talking about? I'm talking about this, therefore, this happens because of whatever was prior to therefore. Okay, it's a result of what happened. So, therefore, because of them not doing what they should have done with all the information that they were given, the scripture, Jesus says, I'm going to speak in a way for those who recognize the need and want to grow in the knowledge and in a relationship with me, because the darkness does not understand the light. That's your parables. Jesus says, I'm going to speak to them. When he starts saying this, therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled. I am going to speak in a way for those who recognize the need and want to grow. They make a choice to grow in the knowledge and relationship with me, because the darkness does not understand. They look at it and they don't understand it. Therefore, it's a parable. So Jesus is speaking to the ones in a way in which they can understand, because they've made a choice to want to know more about Him. And that'll tie right into salvation. You have to make a personal choice to follow Him and to accept Him as your Savior. It's a personal choice. Choices are all part of our Christian walk. Our choices. Choices, 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 choices. We have to continually make choices. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Why can they not understand these parables? The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit, for they are folly to him, they're foolish to him. Therefore, Jesus says what? I outcast you and away you go. John 8:12. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 12:35. Light is among you. For a little while longer, walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he's going. That is why, to the outside world, and he's using this as an example, these parables, these guys ain't going to understand it, because they're walking around in the darkness. John 12:46, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Because whoever believes will not remain in darkness. Acts 26:18, I've come to open their eyes, so that they may turn from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by me and faith. This is just building and building and building. Proverbs 4:19. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know why they stumble. That is a verse put in here. They do not know. What we do is folly to them. We go to church every Sunday and it's foolish to them. We go 1,600 miles to do youth camps and it's foolish to people. You go to a high school and do youth group and it's foolish to them. But it's not their fault, because they do not know. Luke wants to give light to those who sit in darkness. Why are they sitting in darkness? Because they're tired of stumbling in it. Their toes hurt because they keep stubbing their toe, and they're getting tired, and they sit in darkness. What happens when you're tired and up and you're moving around and you sit down? You're at your wit's end. Let's end it. Let's pull the trigger. Let's take the pills. Let's just get it over with because I'm tired of stumbling around in the dark. I'm tired of my feet hurting, walking on things I shouldn't walk on, bumping into things that I shouldn't be bumping into. So I'm just going to sit down because I don't want to hit my toes anymore. And when I sit down and I'm in darkness, what are the thoughts going to be? Suicide run rampant. Every day it grows and it grows and it grows. And we look at it and we say, we don't understand why. It's because they do not understand the light. They cannot see. It's not their fault. It's our fault because we're not giving them the information that they need. We hold the key. We have the power to go over and flip that light switch and give them the light. Yet we make the choice to take the information that God has intended us to use and put it away. We're not willing to look foolish because we're going to look foolish because they don't understand it. Of course we're going to look like fools when we try to talk about it. I sat on the airplane with a lady yesterday morning and I gave her four different opportunities to get into some sort of conversation. She did not understand a bit of it. Didn't want to know nothing about what we were doing, what we were out there for, what effect it had, what nothing. Didn't give nothing. I don't know. I'll take that as she's in the darkness. She had an opportunity to hear about the light, to be encouraged by the light, yet she looked at it as, well, that's crazy. You left for a week and you were away from your family, away from your kids, away from everybody for a week, and you went out and did that for, that's foolish. That's a lot of money just to waste and not go have a vacation and do things. It's foolish to them. She had no interest in it whatsoever. Was it because she's blinded by the darkness? I don't know. Never could get it out of her. To give light to those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. 1 Thessalonians 5:5. For we are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. Then why do we participate so much in it? If we're not of it, for at one time you were darkness, but now you're in the light, walk as children in the light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. We are not meant to go hang out in those dark places because we are not of there. He has transferred us out of that. We all at one time, before we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, were in that darkness. But now we're not. Now we are here. We live in a zip code that is different than what you and I walk in every day. Our address is a heavenly address. It sounds stupid and cliche, but that's, I don't know how else to say it. But that is our address that we are to live in. Therefore, the ambassadorship that we're supposed to have, working out this information as God intended us to work it out to people, so they're able to see a decision and can make a choice to either turn the light on or stay in that darkness. We're ambassadorships of where our address is at. We're to help God rule and reign on this earth by being ambassadors for Him. Because then it gets into it. In verse 14, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but you will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, otherwise they would see with their eyes. That goes back to Genesis chapter 3 with spiritual death. That's what these guys are lining up for. They've had the opportunity. Jesus is speaking to them. Spiritual death, Genesis chapter 3. You've all heard this story. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, indeed God has said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. The woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat from, touch it, or you will surely die.'" The serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die." Okay? Deception. How does Satan work? "For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Do you suppose Adam and Eve walking with God, Satan just threw her a word that she didn't even know? They didn't know what evil was. Evil hadn't been there. There was no sin. There was no evil. It was a perfect environment where they were walking in the garden with God. God can be no evil. God can partake in no of evil. Would they have even known anything about evil? But what did Satan just do? He just threw something out there. And if Eve would have known that it was evil, would she have done it? How sly is Satan? He just used something for her. She didn't even know about it. She didn't know what evil was. Otherwise, we all know what evil is. If we know what evil is, are we gonna honestly make an effort to choose evil if we know what evil is? We're not going to. "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit." See? Good and evil. Wisdom, says Satan. You'll know it all. Whatever evil, Eve's probably, what is evil? What do you mean by evil? I don't know. It's a part of God is. Look how Satan's going to use that deception. Okay? Says, "Then the eyes, or then she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate." Where was Adam? Not leading his family. Not being the spiritual leader in his household. He was standing right there. You catch that? "Then she gave it to her husband." Because he was there. "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked." How'd they know? Because they left from the cover of God. They were uncovered from God's protection. Because they disobeyed what God said. Sin. We are not protected. They were not protected anymore. Death had entered. Spiritual death just happened when she ate that fruit. It just broke that covenant with God, his protection. And they look around and said, "My protection from God is gone, and I see now, and I'm naked. My covering from God is gone." They were open to the hurt. They were open to the evil, to the deceitfulness, from the lies, to all the stuff that sin brings about us. They were now open to. So what did God do? Jump up to verse 21. "The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them." Did God just say, "Sorry, you are now dead"? He said, "No, I'm going to sacrifice something to cover you back up. To cover you. To shield you from that nakedness. From that emptiness." And he used something as a sacrifice. That is the first picture, Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, of Jesus Christ. Because what did he do for our shamefulness, our nakedness? He covered us. The blood that he shed on that cross did what? He sacrificed himself. An animal had to be sacrificed. It was skin. Some animal had to die. Doesn't say what kind of animal it was, whatever it was, but it died in the place to cover their nakedness. Jesus Christ died for you and everybody, as that sacrifice to cover our nakedness, our emptiness, our being exposed without being covered by God. Jesus covered that. So he's talking of spiritual death. In verse 16, we jump to, "But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear." The original language for the word blessed in this scenario, when God extends his benefits. I would say that was pretty beneficial to the apostles, right? Jesus took them aside. He just spoke a parable, and they're like, yo, what's confused? What's this, man? But he's going to be blessed. For your benefit, when God extends his benefits, there again, that's Matthew chapter 3, verse 4, 6 and 8. That's all of that. What is our relationship with him? What is our relationship? Will we be blessed by the things that we are seeing? Will we be blessed by the things that we hear? Depends if we're going to do with the things around us that God has intended us to do with them. Psalm 91, and we're going to close. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, he will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, for it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper. Snares are unexpected, right? They're traps. Evil, deceit, sin, so many temptations, so many things that the devil throws at us are traps. And from the deadly pestilence, he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. What's that? It's a mound of earth around a place. Think of like a moat around a castle. It was what? For defensive purposes. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by the day, or of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. You have made, it is your choice. It's yours. No evil will befall on you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands that you do not strike your foot against a stone. In the darkness? Walking around in the darkness? Because when you and I are walking in sin, what are we walking in? Darkness. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Why? How? Because you have loved me, therefore I will deliver you. I will set him securely on high because they're going to put you because you have known my name. I will be with you in trouble. I will rescue you and honor you. With a long life, I will satisfy you and let you see my salvation. What am I seeing and hearing will result in who I call upon. Whatever I'm filling my day with, whatever I'm filling my soul with, whatever I'm filling my life with, will directly result in whom I call upon when trouble strikes. Is it the bottle of booze? Is it the bottle of pills? Is it running away? Is it separation? Is it beating somebody? Is it letting whatever emotion out because that's what we fill ourselves with? What I see and what I hear will result in who I call upon. Are we using the Word of God as He intended it to be used? If I don't know this, I ain't going to call upon it. If I don't read this, I ain't going to see Him. I'm going to see what the world has for me to offer. And the world is run by the same person who revealed to Eve and deceived her with wisdom So do I want wisdom from the world? Or do I want to see and hear the wisdom of God? It's my choice. It's your choice to whom you choose to follow. And then it's cool, because then next week we get to look at the result of who we choose to follow and what we can do with it. So we'll bow our heads. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come together this morning, to learn from you, to be encouraged by you. We just pray that you give us the eyes to see you, that you give us the ears to hear when we're called upon to stand for truth, to stand for you, to present you. We just pray that you allow us to be comfortable in your grace and your mercy, to allow us to be confident in knowing that you dying on the cross was enough for us, that we can stand in that righteousness with you, allowing us to be confident in using the Spirit that you've left with us to go out and to do the things that you've intended us to do and live a life that you've intended us to live. You've intended us to live a life abundantly that is not like the world tells us we should live our life. If we want that true peace, that joy, and that comfort, we know that we have to live life the way that you intended us to live, by your principles, by your standards. And in the result, other people will see that we are different, because the light shines so much brighter than the dark. Then they will want to see what it is that is different about us, what it is that we have in us that they don't have and that they want, and then we will be able to turn them over to you, introduce them to you. It's all we need to do. You will take care of the rest. Just as we're going to see, it's just going to be the seeds that are sown. So, Father, I just pray that you help us to go out of here more confident, more bold in our faith, in our walk with you. Get a little uncomfortable and be willing to be used. Be able to see when we're at that crossroad to make a choice. Be able to clearly see which direction your path leads us down, so we may choose that one. Father, as we take our offering this morning, I just pray that you continue to use this church to touch so many souls, that you can use it for your glory, for your purpose, and for your intentions. In your son's name we pray. Amen.